This is Arkies in the Beltway, a look at national politics and the Arkansans influencing the discussions. I'm Alex Thomas, Washington correspondent for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, reporting from the nation's capital. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of May 19th, 2024. Arkansas's federal lawmakers backing the recent measure authorizing Federal Aviation Administration programs, which has language impacting airspace issues in the natural state. The U.S. Senate and House of Representatives overwhelmingly approved the $105 billion measure, with funding for aircraft programs, air traffic control training, and infrastructure improvements. President Joe Biden signing the bill into law last Thursday. The congressional votes more than 7 months after Congress was supposed to approve a five-year authorization bill. Lawmakers relied on short-term extensions to allow the Federal Aviation Administration to continue its operations. Representative Bruce Westerman of Hot Springs notes the final bill is not much different than the House's legislative proposal that the chamber passed last July.
Some of the things that were being put out there as amendments had nothing to do with aviation. It was just a vehicle that some in the Senate saw could be used as a rider to get their special interest project included and passed.
Westerman serves on the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, as does Representative Rick Crawford of Jonesboro. Both lawmakers are also part of the body's subcommittee on aviation.
We got it done. That's the main thing. And we can move on to other things. This was good for us.
All four Arkansans in the House and the natural state's two senators backed the proposal. Crawford and Westerman secured an amendment requiring the FAA to issue proposed rules on drones and unmanned aircraft with consideration towards protecting pilots and passengers on planes. Westerman ties this language to the prevalence of small aircraft on Arkansas's farms, such as crop dusters.
These are very powerful planes flying very close to the ground, and we want to make sure that their paths are kept as clear as possible.
The measure also includes language impacting the Port of Little Rock. The port and FAA have been working together on relocating an air traffic control beacon from its current location near the port to another site north of Interstate 40. With this move, the port will have 1,000 additional acres to advertise for developers. The bill requires the FAA to prepare a report on the move and the project's timeline. Representative Frenchill of Little Rock has taken charge of the issue. He says the federal government has restrictions impacting the construction and height of buildings surrounding these kinds of beacons.
It's really blocked about 1,000 acres for economic development connected directly to the Little Rock Port.
Brian Day is the executive director of the Little Rock Port Authority. He says with the 1,000 new acres, the port can offer a super site to new companies interested in operating in Arkansas.
That's going to allow the Little Rock Port Authority to attract and recruit large industrial investments to grow jobs for Central Arkansas.
Day noting the new beacon is set to go live in the fall. An issue during the debate on the reauthorization measure surrounded additional flights involving Ronald Reagan National Airport near Washington, D.C. Officials with both Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport and Northwest Arkansas National Airport had expressed concerns about an early proposal to add 56 flights involving Reagan National Airport, worried airlines would skip over smaller airports for larger facilities. Lawmakers settled on 10 new flight slots. The Clinton National Airport telling the Democrat Gazette it is happy to see that Congress reduced the number of flights. Northwest Arkansas National Airport is not sure if this change will affect services, but officials would hate to see anything that affects the popular direct flights between their facility and Reagan National Airport. Representatives Crawford and Westerman presenting federal agency leaders with questions about the future rebuild of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. The House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee holding a hearing on the federal response so far to the March disaster and what's next in constructing a new bridge. Crawford spending much of his allotted time pressing Federal Highway Administrator Shailen Bhatt on future costs. The Biden administration is seeking a full federal cost share for building a new bridge. The Federal Highway Administration has redesignated the bridge and surrounding parts from a segment of state highway to federal interstate, increasing the reimbursement rate from 80% of the cost to 90%. Maryland state officials project rebuilding the bridge near the Port of Baltimore will cost upwards of $1.9 billion. Crawford and Bhatt during last Wednesday's hearing.
While the bridge was located on I-695 prior to its collapse, it wasn't actually considered a part of the interstate, but rather was Maryland State Route 695. Is that correct?
Yes.
The bridge had previously never received any federal funding. Is that correct?
Yes.
I understand that Federal Highways has since approved a request by Maryland to designate the bridge as interstate. Is that correct?
Yes.
Meaning the federal share for reconstruction under the emergency relief program will now be 90%. Is that correct?
Yes, instead of 80.
Okay. So what we're talking about here is a delta of 10% for a bridge that previously never received any federal funding.
Westerman asked Batt about the environmental review process for a future rebuild, with the congressman noting a two-year battle with federal agents on repairing a gravel road in Franklin County when expressing his concerns.
The project has already been funded, but is apparently so tied up in red tape that my office can't even get a clear answer from your agency on when the washout will be filled. If FHWA is unable to reconstruct a gravel road in less than 2 years and counting, why should we trust your agency with billions in funding for a project of this magnitude?
Batt telling lawmakers the federal government would grant the project a categorical exclusion, allowing agencies to move swiftly through the environmental review process. As for clearing the federal channel of the cargo ship Dolly and segments of the bridge, federal officials remain optimistic about having that fully reopened by the end of May. Representative Crawford welcoming explosive ordnance disposal technicians to Capitol Hill. The Congressional EOD Caucus hosted its EOD Day on the Hill last Wednesday in the Cannon House office building, recognizing military personnel and others involved in handling and removing explosives. Crawford is one of the caucus's co-chairs. He served 4 years in the Army as a technician. Crawford speaking during a reception, noting the perception of EOD units is much different compared to his time in the military.
Back when I was in, they would kind of cordon us off in this little shop and you said, if we need you, we'll call you kind of thing, you know, and it's changed so much. And I think over the last 25 years, you have shown the value to warfighters, to our combatant commanders, to everybody that understands military, how important EOD is.
This year's event marked the 13th day on the Hill for the caucus. A big week ahead for the House Agriculture Committee. Lawmakers will hold a markup Thursday on House Republicans' proposal of what could end up as the next farm bill. The committee on Friday released the legislative text covering agriculture, nutrition, and rural development programs. Representative Crawford serves on the House committee. In Congress's upper chamber, Senator John Bozeman of Rogers is the top Republican member of the Senate Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry Committee. Bozeman spoke to the Democrat Gazette about the next farm bill on May 7th before the public saw the House's legislation. He says there is shared bipartisan interest in passing a legislative package during this Congress.
You know, when you talk to the average person in Congress on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, members want to get a farm bill done. So we've just got to, you know, get the things that we agree on, fine-tune those, and then really wrestle around and come to an agreement on the rest of it.
Senate Democrats have released an overview of their farm bill proposal as well. There are clear gaps between congressional Republicans and Democrats. House Republicans are pushing provisions limiting the executive branch's authority to change SNAP benefits and reallocating conservation funds from the Inflation Reduction Act to expand existing programs. Democrat agriculture leaders accusing their Republican colleagues of undermining the goal of passing a bipartisan farm bill by pushing such language. Congress has until September 30th to pass new legislation. And that'll do it for this edition of Arkies in the Beltway for the week of May 19th, 2024. You can stay up to date with all news involving Arkansas at arkansasonline.com. You can get in touch with me on social media. My handle is at AlexHouseThomas. Special thanks to the team down in Little Rock. I'm Alex Thomas, and this has been Arkies in the Beltway. Thanks for listening.